Want to talk about peace this evening. We are getting into that time of the year where it seems we have everything but peace. We get to compete with everybody to get this and to get that, and everybody seems to be out on the roads, and it can be a very unnerving time of the year for many. Yet the scriptures tell us that we are to be people of peace, and that we are to live peaceably with all men. Our primary text this evening is Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. I remember shortly after I became a Christian, I remember having this verse impressed upon me in having a study with the preacher where I was first converted and first a Christian. Romans chapter 12 and at verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." I want to look at some things regarding peace, but then we're going to come back to this verse. And we're going to look at some of the specific instructions that are found in this particular verse. The command that is given to us is to live peaceful lives and to live at peace with others. And peace is something that Christians are to be known for. We are to be known as people of peace, and we're to be known as peacemakers, as we had read for us in Psalm 34, verse 14, that the fear of the Lord, and if we want to live right and live acceptable before God, one of the things we'll do is to seek peace and pursue it. That was that last instruction that was found in the reading we had just a moment ago. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The world can be characterized by chaos. The world can be characterized by cruelty and hatred. But if you're pursuing peace and if you're making peace, that will characterize you as a child of God. A part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana, but it's love, joy, peace. And we go on with those other great characteristics and attributes there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 15, that the peace of God is to rule in our hearts. Our hearts are not to be ruled by chaos or by envy or by doubt or fear. The peace of God is to rule in our hearts. Peace should be something, as we said, that characterizes every Christian. Man has a need for peace. And our need for peace goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. When sin introduced the picture, man lost his peace. And the story of the Bible, while it is a story of redemption, could also be looked upon as the story of man's pathway back to peace, or his desire to regain that peace that was lost. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the man and the woman, as they were in sinless perfection living before God in their innocence, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And we know that in this state, they enjoyed face-to-face fellowship with God, but when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 8 says verse 7 says, "The eyes of both of them were opened. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." For the first time, that sound was not a welcoming sound. For the first time, that sound brought fear to them. The presence of God brought fear to them, and they sought to hide from God. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And that peace, it was gone. And part of what drives man even today is the desire to attain that peace, to have that peace. And so man's need for peace can be focused upon three different areas. For one, as we've shown here, there is that need to have peace with God. because we understand that our sin makes us enemies of God. In Romans chapter 5 and at verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Our sin makes us enemies with God. Now, whether or not people desire it, whether or not they realize they need it, every person needs this peace with God. We need to be reconciled unto God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, at chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." All three of these verses talk about reconciliation, or being reconciled unto God. And Romans chapter 5, verse 10 talked about that reconciliation. It is Romans 5:10 that says we were enemies with God. So there's that need for reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to make friendly again, or to win over to a friendly attitude. And that's what we need. We are created in the image of God, but if we're out of fellowship with God, if we're at enmity with God because of our sin, we don't have peace, we have a God-shaped hole in our lives that only God can fill. And we're surrounded by all kinds of people who are miserable, who devote themselves to pursuing things to try to fill that hole, that void in their life. And they won't until they are reconciled with God and have peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ we can have what we need. And what we need is peace with God. But we also need to have peace with ourselves. There are a lot of people who have problems within their own heart. They are not at peace with themselves. Their conscience is bothering them. They're overcome with negative feelings that are constantly dragging them down. Maybe those ideas, those feelings were put there by other people, but they hang on to them. And a lot of these people that are around about us that are searching to fill that void in their life are not only needing peace with God, but they're looking to be at peace with themselves. But they're not going to find that outside of Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Yet there are many people whose hearts are troubled and they are afraid and they're enjoying the peace of the world, but it's not giving them the peace that they need. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And it's not like the peace of the world. The peace of the world is you do what we tell you to do and we won't mess you up. We'll leave you alone. We won't persecute you. That's the peace that is offered by the world. But that doesn't bring lasting peace to us. The peace that is offered by Christ is knowing that we're right with God. And knowing that we're right with God allows us to be able to pillow our head at night and not worry about whether we wake up the next day or not. It gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. And there are some people who are dependent upon outward circumstances in order to be at peace. And they're like a boat on the waves. And if everything's okay, they're okay. But if there's any waves, then they're not at peace. Their peace is in an external source. It's not in Christ who is dwelling in them. So we need to be at peace with God. And we need to be at peace in ourselves. And once we have sought and obtained peace with God and peace with ourselves, then we're ready to pursue peace with others. And there's that third area that we desperately need peace in. Peace with others. And in Romans chapter 14, and this is that chapter we mentioned this morning in our Bible class about having different opinions, different views, different judgments on things, and how if God's not said specifically one way or the other, we have a right to differ on these things, but we need to be very careful with the attitude that we have towards one another as we differ on these matters. Above all, we are to have peace with one another, and we're not to allow these differences to destroy this peace. Paul says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So after I've obtained peace with God and I have peace with myself, then I am to pursue those things that make for peace with my brethren. But this need for peace and this call that's given to us to be at peace, the scope is much broader, much wider than just my brethren. Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 14 says that we are to pursue peace with all people, with everyone. Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now that should be our end goal. And we want to see the Lord at the end of this life. Here's something that will keep us from this. Two things we must pursue. One is holiness, that is purity, moral purity in our lives. And that's another subject entirely we could study, we could look at. But the first one that's mentioned here is our subject for this afternoon, pursuing peace. Pursuing peace with all men. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, that we are to love our enemies. Again, it's not like the world does it. It's not peace the way the world determines peace, and it's not love the way the world determines love. While in the world, people love those who love them. That's very natural. But agape love, this duty-bound love that we have, is to be shown to everyone, even those who are not lovable. Even those who are not loving us, we are to love our enemies. Again, let's remember that our willingness and our ability and our desire to be peaceful people is what's going to identify us as children of God. It's going to be one of the things that separates us from the world around about us. So we have a need for peace. All of mankind does. Again, whether they realize it or not, this is what they need. This is what they should be pursuing. First, a peace with God. Then a peace within themselves. And then they're in a position where they can seek peace with others. Now that being said, I want to take us back to the text we started at in Romans chapter 12. And at verse 18, because some things are said in this passage that are different than these other admonitions that we have. Notice that Paul says in Romans 12 and at verse 18, he starts by saying, if it is possible. And isn't that interesting? Because many of these other passages that we looked at have told us, pursue peace, be at peace, be a peacemaker. But it's this one passage that tells us, that lets us know, perhaps that reminds us, that peace with others is not always going to be possible. It's not always going to be possible, not because of you, but because it involves another person. And they have their own free will. And they can decide whether or not they want to be at peace with you. But if it is possible, your obligation, your first desire, is to live a peaceable life. Some people just don't want to be at peace. You ever known anybody like that? It seems like they love to argue. I turn on the television and I turn to these news channels, and it's full of people, I think they just love to argue. because they'll argue about anything. They'll even take a position that they don't believe in themselves, but they'll take it just so they can argue. I've known people like that personally, and perhaps you have as well. There are some people who just don't like peace. They don't want to be at peace with other people. And you and I are going to come into contact with those kind of people. And despite the fact despite the efforts that we put forth to be at peace with them and to love them and to try, they're not going to be at peace with us. The Scriptures tell us that if someone is a divisive person, if someone is like that, to stay away from such a person. So there are going to be those that don't want peace. But also, if you like peace, if it's what you really desire, and you don't like the conflict, and you don't like the uncomfortable situations that can arise when you have differences, there can be a strong temptation to compromise in order to have peace. And we have to be very careful with that, because there are some areas in which we can compromise, but there are also areas in which we can't compromise. And it may be that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings a sword in those situations, in those areas. And we have to be willing to accept that. Sometimes peace is not possible. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Here again, notice there are some areas where we need to be willing to compromise, and there are some other areas where we're not. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Peace is mentioned three times in these two verses, talking about the wisdom that is from above. That is, the mindset, the way of thinking, the standards and the values that are given to us by God through His Word and that don't come to us from the world. The world says, look out for number one. And if you're not big enough to be number one, then get out of the way. But the wisdom that comes from above is different than that. And it's going to contribute to peace. That's why we say a child of God needs to be characterized by peace. But notice, peace is not the first thing that is mentioned. It is first pure. This peace is pure. That is, it is holy and it is true to God's Word. Anything that would come along that would call upon us to deviate from what is pure, the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ, is not something that we are to compromise for the sake of peace, because purity comes first. And then there is peace. Now, if it's my opinion, I can forego that. If it's my judgment and it's my choice, I can forego that for the sake of peace. And you can as well. But if it's a matter of a thus saith the Lord, if it's a matter of the pure doctrine of Christ, we're not to compromise that. So, it's not always possible to have peace. And Romans chapter 12 and at verse 18 bears that out. But another part of this verse that's worth looking at is the admonition, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. You and I can only do what we can do. And that's all we're responsible for doing. There are some elements in being at peace with others that are not dependent upon me. But those that are, Christ requires that I fulfill those. I have to learn that I can't control what other people think or say or do. Some people have a problem with this. Some people want to control others. And they get very upset when others are not doing exactly what they think they ought to be doing. And that destroys peace. That destroys their peace. And then they in turn destroy other people's peace in reacting to that. Well, as much as depends on me, I can control what I think. I can control what I do, and yes, I can control what I say. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, but I can. But I can't control what other people think, say, or do. And so what I can do is I can think and I can say and I can do and I can react in a way that will make for peace with other people. And that's carrying my part of the load. That's doing my half. That's doing what is required of me. As we said, sometimes there are people who just don't want to get along. There are some people that don't want to forgive and forget. I can't do anything about that. Everything that is within my power to do, I need to do. I need to be willing to go the extra mile. I need to do my very best. And after I've done that, then let the chips fall where they may. I've done the best I can. I've done all that I can. If they're not going to be at peace, it's not because of me. That's the way we need to approach it. So we can't control what other people think, but there's something else here. As much as depends on you, our happiness, the peace that we have with ourselves, cannot be dependent upon others. Now, we do have a relationship with other people. We do need to have an influence upon others. And the things that others do and say do have an impact upon us. But at the end of it, the peace that I have with God and the peace that I have with myself, it can't be dependent upon a person who refuses to be at peace with me. And I need to understand that. I need to allow that to guide my understanding so that I'm not at turmoil over this kind of a matter. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If possible, as much as depends on you, you live at peace with all men. But those things that lie outside of your possibility, those things that lie outside of your control, if they go sour, don't allow that to destroy your peace that you have with God. And don't allow that to destroy the peace that you have within yourself. And that's tough. That's tough when you're wanting peace with other people and they're not reciprocating that. It's hard to accept that sometimes. But we have to accept it. I like this verse because this verse helps us to see the reality. The ideal situation is that we all live in peace. But sin exists in this world, and so perfect peace is not going to be found. And so the reality is that if possible, as much as depends on us, we are to live at peace with all men. As we've said, God's people are to be characterized as people who pursue peace. And peace is a choice. It's a frame of mind. It's not a reaction to a favorable condition. Well, if you all want me to be at peace, then you all better get in line so I can be at peace. That's not the way it works. Peace is something that we pursue with God and that we pursue in our own hearts and that we pursue with others. I ask as we draw this to a close this afternoon, are you a peacemaker? Are you a peacemaker? Are you a person that strives for, pursues peace, and contributes to peace, and seeks to have peace with others? Remember, that's how you'll be identified as a child of God, if people know you to be a peacemaker. I ask also, tonight, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? If there is something between you and another child of God, you need to correct that. You need to make that right. The Scriptures make that so very plain. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, you're to leave your gift there and first go be reconciled to your brother. And then you come and you worship God. So if there's something between you and another brother or sister in Christ, get that matter taken care of. Don't ignore it. Get it taken care of. If you're not at peace with God, you need to be. The Prince of Peace came and died on the cross so you could be at peace with God. But it's only possible if you access it through the plan, through the way He has made in His death on the cross. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then act upon that. Be reconciled unto God through obedience to the gospel, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of those sins, or as an erring Christian, repenting of your sins, confessing them, and asking God's forgiveness. If we can help you to take this step towards peace with God, and thus having peace with yourself, let us know. Come as we stand and sing this song.